Welcome to Get in the Herd, a podcast about addiction and recovery brought to you by the McShin Foundation. If you or a loved one are looking for real discussions about addiction, recovery, stigma, advocacy, and most importantly, hope, then stick around. Thanks for joining us. Now sit back and get ready for another great episode of Get in the Herd.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the award-winning recovery podcast, Get in the Herd. Welcome, brought to you by the McShin Foundation. My name is Nathan Mitchell, and today we have, oh, she wants to start, I know. See, you're going to be fine. Today, our topic is living in McShin housing. Today, our topic is early recovery, getting past the first 90 days, building new habits. And we have with us today, are you full staff?
No.
Okay. No. So we have Barbie Hunt with us today. Barbie, who are you? Who is Barbie?
I am a participant at the McShin Foundation. I live in a recovery house.
All right. So what house? You are a house leader. Is that correct?
I'm an assistant house leader.
You're assistant house leader right across the street, right?
Yeah.
I see you running across the road all the time.
Yeah.
Well,
I live close.
You live close. Yeah. So you also have a full-time job.
Yes.
Outside of this, do you like your new job?
Yes, I do, but I like my job here better.
You like your job here better?
Yeah.
Well, what do you do here at McShin?
Right now, I'm a herder. I herd the boys in and out. I make sure they go to groups. I take them out for cigarettes.
Yeah.
When they want a cigarette. And I make sure they get on group on time.
You make sure they get to group on time.
Yes.
I've been in that position before. I think you know this. I've told you, right? I spent 4 months in that position. And I can tell you it's so much easier when it's cold outside.
Yes. In and out.
Because they want to get inside and they want to get warm again, right?
Yeah.
So tell me, Barbie, how did you find the McShin Foundation? Where were you before here?
Actually. I went to Tucker's, and somebody at Tucker's was at the McShin Foundation. So I called, and I got a scholarship, and I'm making the money worthwhile. Yeah, I'm here every day. I love being here. I'm here from 8 to 4:30 every day. I love the groups. They have good groups. If you want to recover, this is the place to recover.
I went to Tucker's too.
Yeah. I like the food. I do like the menu.
You like the food?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. We've got a Tucker's population in here right now.
Tucker's party.
Tucker's party. Whoa. It's all sporks though.
Yeah, it really is.
Hey, yeah. I was in jail. It was all sports in jail too.
Yeah. But I dig sports though. So
I do, man. It describes me an act of addiction. Am I a spoon? Am I a fork? What am I?
I'm whatever you need me to be right now to get what I need.
Right.
I think we even had metal sports somewhere at some point. I don't know. I feel like in high school or college,
we definitely had like the softest plastic you could have.
At Tucker's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they bend easily.
Oh, yeah. Very, very easy.
Just like my resolve. So somebody was there, right? Okay. And you got here on a scholarship, and you've been here for 110 days?
Yes, 110 days.
That's incredible.
Yes, yeah.
So you experienced the holidays here.
Yeah.
You were here for Thanksgiving, right?
It's actually one of the best Christmases I ever had.
Well, tell me, what made it the best Christmas?
I always told God I wanted more kids, and that was many years ago. And be careful what you pray for, because you might get it. So now I have tons of kids. Yeah.
Girl.
I love each and every one of them.
And you just had a new grandbaby.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. How many grandchildren do you have now?
I have six. Yeah. My oldest is 16. He's driving now.
Yeah. So what do you do? What did you do for the holidays then?
I spent my Christmas here with the boys and the girls.
Okay.
We had Christmas dinner.
I just lost my right ear. There we go. Whew, thank you. I thought I was going half deaf there for a second.
Welcome to my world.
Well, you know, I swim a lot. So, you know, there's a constant fear that the water is damaging my brain. So, you know that I swim a lot. So there's a constant fear that the water is damaging my brain. Do you like that? Like,
yeah,
how I did that?
I did. I like what you did with that. Yeah.
So you came here on a scholarship and you lived. Did you go into our intensive house?
Yes. I was in the intensive house for 28 days.
And then moved into the house you're living in now?
Yeah.
And from there, you've been able to find a job?
Yeah. Carrytown Burgers.
Woohoo! They're not. Well, they do kind of sponsor us in a sort of underbelly kind of way. And I mean underbelly.
Actually, every sale that they do, 10% of it goes to the McShim Foundation.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, you're also hiring McShim participants as well. So
yes. Yeah. Most of the people there are in recovery. Yes.
That's cool. Tell me, Barbie, so you've been here now 110 days. How do you like things at your house right now? It's seven women in your house total?
Yes. Yeah. I love my house. They need to be a little cleaner, but.
You mean they're not clean at a recovery house? I've never heard of that before.
Well, there's a couple. Well, I'm not going to say any names, but there's a couple that need a little work.
We know, Barbie. We know.
Hey, what do you do with the dirty dishes if somebody leaves them in the sink?
We throw them in the trash.
Yes. Yes.
Teach them, girls.
Teach it. Yeah. Do you make sure you leave it like right on the top of the trash too?
Oh, no. I bury it. I take it outside.
Just break it first.
That's vicious over there.
Throw it against the wall. Make them clean that up.
I would. Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Damn, it got savage. That's savage. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh. You thought you men were the only savages.
No. I know women can be savages. Yeah.
We're just sneaky.
Women are?
Yeah, a little bit.
Men are not sneaky at all.
Nope.
We're as subtle as a rhinoceros in a china shop.
In a china shop.
I don't know why rhinoceros came to mind, but I just like that better.
Hey, you know.
You know? I like a white rhinoceros. I think they're endangered, so they probably shouldn't be wandering around china shops.
They probably shouldn't be. Neither should men.
poor Art over there just shaking his head. I don't know why. What am I in over here? What am I doing? Yeah. Welcome to my world, Art. What am I doing? What am I in? Yeah. Well, Barbie, so tell me, so since you've gotten into recovery, you know, prior to recovery in Tucker's, what were you doing before Tucker's?
Getting high.
Yeah. Yeah. I
ain't gonna lie. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of why we're here. If you weren't getting high and you just came here, we'd probably wonder why. We'd probably have to think about the things.
Put me back out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I asked that question. I legit asked that question. When I do a group on Wednesday morning, I'll often do what we call the McShin way, or I talk about, it used to be orientation. We go through the rules. You know, sometimes I do it in a playful manner. Sometimes I go straightforward to it. Sometimes I bring something completely different to the table. But one of the things I often ask is there anybody in this room who does not identify as an addict or an alcoholic? And, you know, usually everybody keeps their hand down. But in my head, or what I'll say to that is, you know, if you do not identify as an alcoholic or an addict, and you're in this room, you may want to consider your life choices that have brought you to this moment right here.
Right.
Because, you know, this is a recovery community organization. And so we have people here with different levels of you know, problems, but all struggling with the same, you know, substance use disorder. And so we're all working towards, you know, getting ourselves, you know, back to or getting ourselves integrated into society, maybe not even back to. Some of us may never have been into society, you know, and doing good things. So what do you feel is perhaps the best thing that you've gotten out of the McShin Foundation since you've been here? Or how about this? Let's make it broadly. Recovery. What is the best thing you've gotten out of since you've been into recovery?
Right now, it's peace. I mean, the groups here are amazing. I love every group. I love every person that does the groups. I like it because they're addicts in recovery themselves. So they've been down that road.
Most everybody. Yeah.
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 You love every group.
I really do. I really do.
I'm here every day still. Are you taking pictures of us? Are you taking? Oh, we got the behind the scenes stuff. I like that. So Justice over there
phone has a sweet camera, and I'm going to utilize the heck out of it.
Oh my God, that's scary. So Justice, I'm calling you Justice right now for the Walter. Picture. Are you
Walter. Testify Tuesday?
March 15th. There we go. Testify Tuesday. We booked it. With that camera though, are you planning on like posting to the Instagrams or maybe to Friendster? Is Friendster still a thing?
I don't know.
Did you say Friendster?
I did. Or maybe on the MySpace.
No, I was about to say I'm gonna post on MySpace first.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna go onto an AOL chat room.
I guess it's better than Frenemies.
And I might post some pictures there.
IRQ, is that a thing? Was that IRL? What was that back in the day? Do you remember? You don't know what you're talking about, Art. You're just smiling and nodding over there. He's ducking too. He's trying to hide back there. Why isn't he mic'd up?
He is. I just have the mic that he.
Oh.
Plus, he's kind of producing today, so.
Ah.
Yeah.
I'd see.
He's doing a fantastic job.
Yeah. No, I feel produced. I feel well produced.
I feel produced.
I'm already produced.
Oh God. How was your production experience today?
It was. Yeah, I'm a little nervous. I'm not gonna lie.
Why are you nervous?
Yeah, but you asked me what I liked here. What I liked the best.
Thank you. Barbie bringing us back.
Thank you, Nathan. I look forward to the Sunday service because I like breaking the bondage because it's probably the only church spiritual service. Non-denominational.
Did you just go spiritual service? Yeah. Is that what you just did?
Yeah, that's
spiritual
the spirit,
service.
Yeah, spirit get into me.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I thought we were becoming fish or something.
Yeah. Fish out of water, maybe.
What is that?
That's more like a.
I'm not sure what that is.
I think that's me.
All right, we're experiencing new
technical difficulties.
We're being reproduced. Oh, I know what it is. It's the Russians trying to hack us. Yeah.
It's the Russians.
It's definitely the Russians.
Yeah.
Definitely Putin himself.
Putin.
Sounds like a Putin.
Putin's not in the recovery.
Yeah.
We're Putin on Putin. Oh, God. All right. So.
Sorry, Putin.
So breaking the bondages. Breaking the bondage.
Yes. Yeah. I like it because it's. Non-judgmental.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go as you are. It doesn't really matter.
Brings me that. There's a song. Come as you are. Da, da.
Come as you are.
Yeah. I'm
as you were.
Who is that?
It's Nirvana.
It is Nirvana. Of course it is. But come on, man. It was the 90s.
We don't play that music, though, at Breaking the Bondage. Just saying.
Why not?
Well, if you request it,
I was gonna say, because that just sounded
they do take requests.
That just sounded judgmental.
They do.
it's a spiritual non-denominational service,
right?
Let's put it
but
that
they
way.
Do take requests.
Ah, yeah.
They do, but I don't think I would play Nirvana or like anything else that I enjoy.
But we do enjoy you there, Justice.
Oh, thank you.
What do you hope to get from the next couple of weeks ahead of you? Because I know that, you know, you've been here now 3 months. Well, almost 4 months, I mean. And
over four. Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 110 days?
Yeah.
Yeah. And where do you see yourself going in the next 110 days?
I'm still going to be here. I hope by then I'm a house leader instead of assistant.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I like helping the girls.
So Christine has to worry about getting... No, it's not Christine.
Christina. Renee now.
Renee has to worry about getting pushed down the stairs. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow, he's taking. I think we're going to be on Snapchat now, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, all of them.
All the chats, all the things.
Let me play.
Okay.
Let me play.
Okay.
It's just kind of weird. He's never been. Funny, Justin was never that interested in photography before.
That's a callback to a movie, and I'm not even going to go into it. So anyway, hey, so the next 110 days, you'd like to be a house leader, possibly going out of that. What have you gotten from, okay, the spiritual service, what have you gotten from McShin itself, you know, like that has been really helpful? Yeah?
Yeah, support, for sure. Love, compassion. There's a lot of that here.
What did you have coming into this place when you got here?
What did I have? Kicking and screaming? Because I really didn't want to be here.
Okay.
But once I got settled in.
Well, so often with my recovery coachees, I get into a conversation about recovery capital at the beginning. You know, when I first, usually not the first, but the second time I'm sitting and talking to somebody, we talk about recovery capital. And do you know recovery capital? Do you took the recovery coach training, right?
Yes.
So do you know what recovery capital is?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the whole William White definition. It's a big, giant, wordy definition, and it's great, and it's encompassing of everything. Simply put, though, recovery capital is the things, it's all the nouns, the people, the people, places, and things, and ideas, you know, skill sets and whatnot that you bring into recovery and that carry you through recovery. And I don't mean all the bad things. I mean all the good stuff that will, you know, help get you into recovery and help you maintain your recovery. So, yeah. So your 12-step meetings, your pathway, you know, and your sponsor would be included in that.
I use ATSMA.
ATSMA?
Yeah.
At the
anything to save my
ass. You can say
that's
ass.
It. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Do you follow a 12-step pathway?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, I do.
Do you have a sponsor?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah. You're working some steps.
Four.
Working some steps, huh?
Yeah. I'm on step four. I didn't know step four and step five. It's like a 2-for-1. Buy one, get one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you got to buy a lot to get that extra one.
I know. It's costly.
No, that's okay. Yeah. Those of you who don't know the fourth step, what is it? Uh-oh. Dead airspace. What is the fourth step? Justin?
That's
fourth step. We made a
searching and fearless
moral inventory of ourselves.
Yeah, right.
When we were wrong, promptly admitted it. That's the next one.
That's 10. Yeah. But it goes hand in hand. So we made a searching and fearless moral inventory. And in the fifth step, right? What do we do in that fifth step? We admitted,
that's when you tell somebody.
Yeah, we admitted to ourselves.
To another human being.
We admitted to God, to ourselves, another human being, the exact nature.
Of our wrongs.
Of our wrongs. Yeah. That's incredibly powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Because first, what do I have to do? I have to think about
first,
all
first, I made the resentment list.
Ooh.
Now I'm working on my fears.
How many pages was your resentment list?
14. But
14?
Yeah.
Have you forgotten a lot?
Probably. Well, I'm old.
I know. I think the same thing, right? I'm like, oh,
and
wait.
I'm not real clear yet, so I know I'm going to have to do that one over.
Well, that is the cool thing about step work, from what I, you know, the idea that we get to keep doing it, because I don't just get cured after 12 steps. You know, I'm still me. My personal character defects still come out. You know, my faults are still there. I just find new and exciting ways to screw up my life in recovery. No, that's a negative outlook. But I do still continue to live within my own skin, and as a non-God, I'm going to be, you know, imperfect. So I'm still going to want to have a pathway in place to fix those things when I inevitably fall on my face. You know, or walk around with my damn pants down or something, you know, show my ass. Yeah. So it's nice. And people are going to wrong me, and I'm going to carry resentments. You know, it's a beautiful thing to have a pathway, something that works for other people, and to have somebody with me along that journey on the pathway, you know, a sponsor or a mentor, you know, who's going to be non-judgmental, who's going to have walked in the shoes I'm in, you know, now, and who can guide me through those steps. You know, that's a pretty powerful thing. 110 days from now, right? I keep going back to that idea. As a house leader, as a woman in recovery, a strong woman in recovery.
I've been doing groups here too.
Yeah,
they got me doing a few groups.
What is that? So we're in, today's March 1st.
And today I actually pass out medicine.
What? Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And you're not catching
and
charges.
And I give you A's.
And you give you A's.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, I get them also, but.
Yeah, well, yeah. So March, April, May. So like the end of May, I guess, is probably somewhere around there. It's about 110 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, towards the beginning of June. So the weather will be nice. You know, Barbie will have doubled down. We'll be 6 months, almost. Actually, you'll be over 7 months at that point, right? You'll be doubling down on this. As a house leader. You know, future casting here a little bit, you know, what do you bring to house leadership? What do you think you bring to house leadership, or what do you think are good qualities to have as a house leader?
Experience, strength, and hope.
Okay. But like, let's get specific.
Specific? Helping people. I mean, when they have problems, yeah. When they need somebody to talk to, when they feel like using. I hope they can come to me and I can.
Yeah. There's, you know, I've been around here now for almost 4 years in McShin. And, you know, you probably know this, my first task leader is Justice over there. shout out, Justin. And so, you know, from the get-go, like, and I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. I'm serious. Like, you know, from the get-go, I had a really good example of good house leadership, you know, and of course, you know, you were good, you know, and we laugh about some of the imperfections at the time. And, you know, we still kick and laugh about stuff that happened back then.
We do a lot of laughing.
We do a lot of laughing too.
Recovery is fun.
And I've been able to, very fortunate to meet a lot of house leaders along the way. So, you know, while I was a house leader, other house leaders or living in some with a house leader, you know, I've been able to meet people, peer leaders, you know, people just like me who are, you know, still struggling with the same things that I'm struggling with, who continue to step up. And you don't have to be a house leader in McShin to be a peer leader.
No, not at all.
Excuse me. But it's one way, you know, of becoming stronger in recovery. You know, I think some of the things that came up when I was a house leader, you know, definitely helped define me in recovery. I also think that being a house leader was probably, you know, in the top five growth experiences of my life, you know, learning what I can tolerate, what I can't tolerate, learning more about what I can tolerate, what I can't tolerate, and really what it means to be of service to the next human being without being enabling.
Giving back, for sure.
Giving back, but without enabling.
Right.
Which is still, that's a thing I still struggle with, because I want to do all the things for all the people, and then I get really pissed off and resentful, and then I'm like, I'm going to do none of the things for none of the people, and you can all sit around, and you can bite my shiny metal ass. Shout out to Futurama fans out there. So, yeah. Was that a laugh of it? No, nobody laughing. Damn it, man. It's a tough crowd today. Tough crowd. I keep looking over that mean mug over there. He's mean mugging me, the whole shift over there. Not you. Our producer over there, the one who can't talk.
I've been to jail a few times because I don't like snitching, but today I definitely hold him accountable.
Mm. Well, what's the difference between holding somebody accountable and snitching?
Snitching is usually like telling on your drug dealer that he's selling drugs, but holding somebody accountable here is saving a life.
How about Justin? What's the difference between snitching and holding somebody accountable? I'm sorry. I thought you just had it on. I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah. That's kind of a hard question.
Okay.
I mean, I would say snitching is. Snitching is basically telling on, like a kid will snitch on another kid for, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
I think you're right on this. I think both of you have hit on some good points. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely will hold them accountable if I see them doing something wrong, because I don't want them to interfere with somebody else who is trying to recover.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them die, actually.
Well, yeah, I think both of these, what you're saying, Nathan's humble opinion, you know, snitching is when I'm telling on somebody so it benefits me. Holding somebody,
keep me out of jail.
Yeah, well, keep me out of jail, or you know, I'm snitching on you in the house because I want to make myself look better in the house. You know, like, we can still snitch in the house, you know. And when I'm holding somebody accountable, I think it's more akin to I'm helping to save their life. And it's funny because around here, you know, the people have been around and doing this a long time. And I don't mean me. I mean, like, Jesse and Honesty and John and the, you know, long terms to Cricket, who's been here forever too. You know, people have been and seen a lot of things around here, know that, you know, and Walt will tell you the same thing. It's not the picking up part, you know, that's the problem. It's all the behaviors that happen before the picking up. And so around here, you know, often
stealing.
Well, I've still had stealing.
I've had to tell on a couple for when we went somewhere, they were still stealing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's happened. I've been with people too. Yeah.
And I don't want to go to jail today.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, that's, they're like, what did you get? I said, that's addict behavior. If I keep doing that, I might as well be getting high.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and you recognize that. I like that. Yeah, exactly. You know, these are the behaviors we're trying to change around here. It's all the idea of the instant gratification. It's the impulsiveness. It's the, you know, I feel like I deserve entitlement, you know, that comes, at least for me, with addiction. So anyway, I see a comment up there. Let's see. I know somebody said, hi, Barbie. What do we got over here? Good job, Bobby. Is that Christopher Jones? Do you know who that is? No? Anybody?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, I do believe.
You do?
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
All right.
There's a lot of people here.
Ah, so okay. Harriet Cosby Jamerson over here. Thank you, Harriet. Accountability means confronting for their good. You know, we never did get a bigger television, did we?
Nope.
This reminds me, I need new glasses because I'm struggling to read. And then Sav over there, Bobby. That's
Savannah.
Nice.
That's Savannah.
Oh, Savannah. Hey, Savannah. To see. I definitely can't see the picture right there. It's like little teeny bitty. Hi, how you doing?
I'm not very photogenic, just saying.
Oh, for crying out loud. Do you hear that? He's been taking shots of you the whole time. He's been taking pictures. That's you know.
There's a lot of drama with the girls too. So
I've actually been taking pictures of like the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't just Barbie. I know. I know.
You're beautiful, Nathan.
Well, I noticed that there's a big giant light covering my face. So if he's taking pictures, I'm not in them. So,
you're definitely in them.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, anyway, back to life over here. I see there was somebody watching on YouTube. I forgot that we do the YouTube live thing. That's crazy. Craziness.
There's usually someone watching on YouTube.
Still nobody watching the Get in the Herd page, though.
Get in the Herd, I like that.
No, we have people watch the Get in the Herd page every once in a while.
Yeah, but not right now.
No, not right now.
Y'all, I appreciate y'all. Y'all, I appreciate y'all doing that, watching right now. But y'all got to be watching from the Get in the Herd podcast page, you know?
Right.
We got to keep those.
Get in the Herd.
Get in the Herd. Barbie. So you have children.
Yes.
How many children? How many kids?
I have three.
Three?
Yeah. Well, my middle one is a surrogate. I had him for somebody else.
Yeah.
But I have an older son and a younger son.
Okay. And you have grandbabies.
Six. Yeah.
You have six grandbabies?
Yes.
You're not old enough to have grandbabies.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Aw. I like Hey Jackie Jones, watch every Tuesday through YouTube. Fantastic. Appreciate you. That's what I wanted to hear. See, I need validation today. I'm feeling low. I actually kind of am feeling low, but go figure. Tell me about your grandkids. How old are they?
16, 14, 6 months, 10 months, 2 weeks.
You got a range is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Stair steps.
Oh, yeah. Because I know we were, what were we doing the other day when you heard about your grandbaby being born? Let's talk about that.
Oh, we were at General Assembly.
What were we doing at the General Assembly?
They were passing a bill on recovery houses.
Recovery housing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. How was that cool? How was that to be a part
of?
There
was one loser in there. You know who you are.
don't shut him out. That's, but I mean,
I didn't say no names.
Yeah. I tried to reach out to him too. He hasn't responded, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But how did you feel participating in all that?
I actually cried.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the guy was talking about, you know, how people, their family had people in addiction, that he knew there was some families had members in addiction. So, yeah.
Now, are you talking about, when we were watching the committee, or when we went into the room and we were with, because we had.
It was like being in court again.
So when we were, so that was Delegate Mullen.
Yeah.
Delegate Mullen was on the show a couple weeks ago.
Was he?
Yeah.
God bless him.
Yeah. He's a cool dude. That mustache. He didn't have that last year. But you also went with us a couple weeks before that. We went and walked around and we met with Art. I don't know if you were there or not.
Yeah, he was.
He was? Okay. He was there that day.
He's been there every time.
Okay. We went and walked around and we walked into Senator Morrissey's office, and Joe Morrissey was talking, and I learned something about him. You know, I knew he was an advocate for recovery things and criminal justice reform. I didn't realize that his own younger brother had died as a result of this disease. And so that was a powerful testimony to hear as well, because those are the conversations we keep hearing about. You know, when Delegate Mullen starts, he didn't tell us exactly who in his family, but he talked about his family. You know, and I think he might have joked about it outside of the committee. At one point he talked to me and he was saying, you know, he's Irish, so of course there's some, you know, kind of a joke, but also kind of serious, you know. But also I know that you know, there are other state senators and delegates who have direct experience. I'm sure we have people in recovery up there. I don't know anybody yet, but I do know, you know, that we have had people up there who have lost family members, you know, children, siblings, you know, and who come in and are working to make it better for the next generation. So it's pretty powerful to be able to come up in there and to show what recovery can look like, you know, and be able to advocate for those things. What more would you like to do with that?
I would like to go back, because I really don't know anything about the bills
getting
passed and stuff, but I would like to learn more about that.
Well, you know,
it's very interesting to me. Yeah.
I don't know that we need to know a bill all the time going down there. I think we just need to be pissed off. I mean, I mean it. You know, I mean, and find a way to express that without, you know, being belligerent, but to express a sense of urgency and why we need to do what we do. You know, when Art and I, a couple, last week or 2 weeks ago, we were looking at Narcan, and we were looking at maybe at finding a way to get it into public bathrooms, right? And I reached out to a colleague, a different organization that worked at the time for the Virginia Department of Health, and I was asking, or maybe it was Richmond, it doesn't matter. I reached out to a colleague and was asking her, you know, how we could go about and what, blah, blah, blah. And technically, you know, what I was asking to do was illegal. And it made me think, you know, it kind of pissed me off. Now, I don't think the intention of the law or the executive order is to make what I was thinking to do illegal, but it made me think, you know, how many people are overdosing in, like, you know, a Subway bathroom or Burger King bathroom. You know, how many people do you know who have used in bathrooms all over? I mean, I know in my...
Myself included, too.
Right? I can't tell you how many times
I used every bathroom I went in.
Yeah. To the point nowadays, and I talk about this on here, I talk about it all the time, if I'm wearing jeans and I walk into a public bathroom almost without even thinking... No, totally without even thinking, my thumb goes right to my
watch pocket.
My watch pocket.
Yeah, me too.
And it's such a habit, you know. And I don't wear jeans very often. And I also, that's just simply because I'm too fat to wear my jeans. But gifts of recovery, pounds of recovery.
I've not noticed.
But it also means, you know, when I don't when I go into those spaces, you know, those are the challenges to my recovery, right? It's like, oh, wait, I'm not doing that anymore. You know, and when I was in early recovery, I used to keep a medallion in there. So instead of touching that little baggie,
that's a good idea.
I would, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't, it's not original to me. I know it, I learned that from somebody else. Yeah, it's a, yeah, it, and that's, I actually love having a medallion with me because I'll fidget with it. You know, if you see me doing this, I'm twiddling my thumb with my index finger on my left hand right now for people who are listening. And when I'm doing that, I'm hearkening back to when I used to keep a coin on me all the time, a medallion on me, and I would just rub it. And for me, I'm a real, you know, antsy kind of guy, my legs and my this and then I want to get up and I got to go over here, my instant gratification, like, and I can take all this, you know, and go right to here. And it just calms me down. I'm being exaggerative, but that's a way for me to take all that. And it helps me get really physically connected with my recovery, because there's so much more than just not using, right? It's like all the little things. You walk into the grocery store. I walk into the grocery store. I'm walking into Kroger. And the first thing I see when I walk into Kroger is all those
wine and
all those beers. And they have these great little labels. And they're like, ooh, fun. Look at me. I'm a White Claw. Ooh, I'm raspberry in this. And I'm like, yo, shut up. You know, let me go over here and get my asparagus and some peace over here, okay? I'm trying to make other bad choices with this pastry. But, yeah, so, I mean, like, I'm confronted with triggers at every freaking turn. You know, bathrooms. You know, the grocery store. Cookouts.
Sometimes I just got to walk in with my hands in my pocket.
Old behavior, yeah. You know? But the beautiful thing is like, I have a program, right? Oh, you know what? I forgot. We're gonna come back in a couple minutes. I forgot we're supposed to take a commercial. So yeah, it's me. So hey, I'll let you guys. You ready for it? We'll go to commercial. We'll be back in like 90 seconds or 2 minutes. I don't know, something like that. We'll see you. Thank you, sir. I love that song.
Yeah,
I've gotten so. Yeah, I hear it all the time, and I love the end there. It's like,
I'm just glad you wasn't
this.
Dancing.
It's only because I'm tethered by these ear thingies. So. Welcome back, everybody, to I was about to say Breaking the Bondage. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Get in the Herd. That is, yes, yep. With our guest today, Barbie Hunt. Today, producer AF over there. We've got Art back there in the driver's chair, and we got Justice behind him.
He's Art AF.
I'm just waiting for Justice over there to give me that look. That's the one I was looking for. So what do you want out of this recovery thing?
I want to learn how not to relapse, how to stay sober for a long period of time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What have you heard to help with that?
What have I heard?
Yeah.
You mean from my sponsor?
From people in recovery.
I actually got a sponsor this time. This is my ninth time.
Well, so going to what you asked, long term, right? There, we've got one person here with 40 years. We got, you know, John's, you know, coming on 40
years. I got 40 years too.
40. Yeah. in recovery. What have you heard from them in terms of how to maintain long-term sobriety or recovery?
From Moses?
Yeah.
I've heard, and Walter.
Yeah.
If you don't pick it up, don't get in you.
Okay. What else?
Your family doesn't want to hear a sermon. They want to see a sermon.
Okay. I like that too. Yeah. What else? Moses does this all the time. What does he say? Do you know?
That's why that was a Moses comment. Yeah. And that one, yeah. That rings on me all the time.
How do you think they maintain their sobriety, their recovery?
I think that helping other people.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah.
Hey, Justin, what do you think? Do you hear what
they don't pick up no matter what?
I don't think.
You don't think? Art, maybe you have an answer to this. How do you think somebody with 40 years of sobriety or recovery does it? Huh? No idea? What do you think?
One day at a time.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, one day at a time.
Yeah. I mean, that always seems to be what I hear from Moses and
hang with the right people.
Hang with the right people. But more, it's always what I always hear, and this is what I hear. You know, I'm going to hear what I want to hear, that one day at a time thing. Because I look at, you know, staying sober or staying, you know, clean you know, for the rest of my
life. You have to stay in today. If you worry about who you were before, that was the past.
Yeah.
And that's not who you were anyway.
What is it? You keep one foot in yesterday, one foot in tomorrow, and you're just
shit all over the day.
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't worry about tomorrow because my higher power is already there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is really, boy, it's really dark. You see that? I feel like we're in the black over there. It's
dark recovery. Yeah.
That's crazy. It's so funny because we're like the light is right on us. That's really dark. Huh. Constantly, you know, I think, I don't know, having that behind us. I like the idea, though, of being able to think about one day at a time. You know, that's the one thing that I
can't even do a whole day at a time.
Okay.
One hour at a time. Yeah.
What makes you, what gives you strength, you know, when you get to that hour?
What gives me?
To get through that hour.
How do I get, go through that hour?
Yeah.
I just don't pick up. I don't use.
Okay. That's powerful stuff. Yeah. And you have a sponsor. You're working some steps. Fourth step.
And I stay with the sober people.
Yeah.
And I help other people. So
yeah,
I talk with other people. Helps me stay sober. Yeah.
What do you think are your biggest assets? What's your biggest recovery capital?
Mine?
Yeah.
You already know. Mine's my higher power.
Okay.
And then, because of my higher power, I have a good sponsor. Actually, my higher power found my sponsor for me.
Okay.
Yeah. I seen her on a Friday and wanted her to be my sponsor, but I didn't pick her. And I told one of the girls at Chesterfield that I wanted her to be my sponsor, but I didn't grab her. It was like God throwing me a life raft and I didn't grab it. So then the next day at M3 Church, she saw me and gave my friend a card and said she wanted to sponsor me. So to me, that was God. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that's
but cool. I do AA. I do NA. I go to meetings. Yeah, I stay with, got my network, hang out with sober people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I come here every day, even on the weekends.
What's your longest stretch of sobriety before? In the past,
I was gonna say 3 years, but
okay.
I always smoked and drank. You smoke a little weed and do some drinking, so okay. I've never really been sober for the last 43 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is the first time.
Does it feel a little weird?
It feels good.
Feels good.
Yeah, and it feels good for my kids to tell me they're proud of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't
probably cry, but
don't speak a sermon, be a sermon. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear a sermon. They want to see a sermon.
Yeah.
But they see something different today than all my other rehabs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many times have you been in rehab before this?
This is number 9. I'm going to say it's 9 lives.
Number 9.
Yeah.
I like that. 9 lives.
Yeah, and I died like 132 days ago.
Okay.
Oh, no, it's 135. Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah. I have to add it up.
So what? You're burying the lead over here. What happened?
I overdosed on fentanyl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got paid on Thursday. Was broke on Friday.
Checks out.
Yeah.
Definitely checks out. I can relate. Yeah.
Spent all my money on crack, trying to get off the heroin. So I borrowed $20 off my son, and he found me dead. Called an ambulance.
Spend all my money on crack so I can get off the. I've heard that so many times.
Yeah.
It doesn't work, does it?
No.
Mm-mm.
I've even tried drinking to get off all that, but.
Yeah.
Got hit by a car twice this last year.
Wait, what?
I call them hitting rans because I ran because I knew the cops were coming. I had dope in my pocket, so.
You've been hit by a car twice in the past year?
Yeah. See this black guy? It's still there 6 months later.
What?
Yeah.
But yeah, what? Where were you? Obviously in the
street.
I was
at the bar.
You were at the bar.
Yeah, I like to dance. So.
Oh, so you dance out into the street? I mean,
I was on my bicycle. Oh,
so
I got there.
Okay, so you leave the bar, you're drunk.
On my bicycle, yeah. Uh-huh.
And you're so
not
you
paying attention. Listening to music.
Bebopping around.
But I'm not an alcoholic.
No. And I'm not 5'4.5". that 1/2 inch is very important.
Yeah, it is.
Don't. Right? You men understand. That's very important.
So do us women.
Barbie, you've been spectacular today. You got anything you want to share with us before we close out?
I just want to say, if you're in recovery, focus on your recovery. Find out who you are. Learn to love yourself.
Why is that? Why do you say that?
Because you can't love nobody till you love yourself. And if you're worrying about what somebody else is doing in their recovery, you're not focusing on your recovery. Stay out of the drama.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama women worry about what this one's doing or who this one's. Worry about yourself.
Okay.
Focus on yourself only.
I like that. Peanut Gallery over there, do you have anything you want to add before we close out? No.
Nope.
You got Fonzie over there.
All right. Well, with that, we will see you all. Today is what? Today's Tuesday, the 1st, right? Wow. In like a lion, out like a lamb. That's March. Have you heard that before? Justin hadn't heard that before. Have you heard that before, Art? No? Yeah. Did I grow up with old wives? That's an old wives thing. March is described as in like a lion, out like a lamb. You in the lion of winter and the lamb of spring, you know, as you go out. I think it also has to do with the wind.
Easter and lamb.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and March is historically, well, I don't know if it's historically, at least anecdotally, a very windy month.
And don't drink the green beer.
Don't drink the green beer. So that's funny you mentioned that. I know that I was getting ready to close up shop here, but I do want to mention one thing that I just found out today. Actually, Justin, you'll be interested. Both of you will be interested as well. We are going to be doing a sober tent at the Irish Festival at the end of the month here in Churchill in Richmond. So, you know, in the past, Justin, you might remember we did that before, right? Do you remember doing that? No, maybe not.
Just don't serve green Kool-Aid.
Where was this?
We McShin used to have a sober tent at the Churchill Irish Festival.
A mixed sober tent?
I don't remember. No,
it was not something we really advertised because we won't let, you know, new participants. I think you had to have 3 or 6 months before you could go. Anyway. Yeah, so we'll be having a sober tent, which will be fun because if we do it like we've done in the past, we had a big giant tent and some couches set up and coffee and donuts and stuff, and it was just like anybody who wanted to come and kind of get away from, you know, it's a family event and there's a lot of beer. It's all sponsored by Guinness and ARP, you know, so it's, you know, having this tent available is a good thing to have. And I happen to love the bagpipes and all the fife music and all that stuff. So, you know, I go in and I watch the dancing and have a blast. And we haven't been able to do it in the last 2 years because of all that COVID nonsense. So the COVID nonsense has ended. So 25th, 26th, and 27th, we will be in Churchill Irishing it up. Yeah.
Churchill Downs.
Churchill Downs. Yeah, Churchill Downs. Up, going up. On that, nothing left from you guys. You don't have anything else left to say?
Nope.
All right. Well, let's just land this plane. How about that? Should we land it?
Land it.
So it's Monday, a Tuesday. I don't even know what freaking day it is. It's Tuesday, March 1st. On Thursday, we've got Skip from New Jersey coming, and she's going to talk to us about criminal justice in general and a whole bunch of different things, reentry. I know that's going to be a great talk. It's a friend of Honesty's. A little bit I've had talking to Skip in advance, she and I definitely have some of the same, you know, thoughts. And then going into next week, I know that, oh geez, I don't even know off the top of my head, on the 8th, what do we have over there? I don't have my book. Do you have it, Justin? Can you tell me what do we have on the 8th? The 8th is, I can see, oh, the 8th, March 8th is Cannabis Day. So John Schinholzer is going to be on here. We're going to have Kenneth and Parker, and we're going to be having a discussion on cannabis and recovery. And we've got two different opinions. Somewhere in the middle, we'll find some happy grounds. And I know that John has a third opinion, I'm sure. On the 10th, what do we have on the 10th? That's Kevin Peterson, is that it? Kevin Peterson will be on. We'll be talking about some good stuff. And then next week, going further, Testify Tuesday on the 15th. And then we still have yet to decide what we're going to do on the 17th, but we will find a way to Irish it up because we will get down for the St. Patrick's Day. So that's kind of a rundown on the next couple weeks. We will see you back here on Thursday. Take care, everybody. Thank you for tuning in.
Christy Liller. I am the CEO of the McShin Foundation and a woman in long-term recovery. Since May 27, 2007, I have not used drugs or alcohol. Woo-hoo! Thank you so, so much to the Richmond Times-Dispatch and all of our voters for getting the Herd podcast. Those podcasts are amazing. Not only has it helped thousands upon thousands of people in their recovery, as well as family members, but it has helped me in my personal recovery. I get to listen to them now in my car through Spotify and iHeartRadio. And it's just really, really important for us to be innovative in the addiction field and the recovery community. So when COVID hit, we had to be innovative. You know, we really had to think of like, what can we do to reach people that cannot go to 12-step meetings, smart recovery, faith-based, whatever, that we're shutting down constantly. So we were innovative here at McShin. Let's start podcast. So with Todd, John, Alex, and some other staff, you know, we all just kind of jumped in who can do what. And with Todd's lead and John's lead, the podcasts have been amazing and we're still doing them today. So I want to thank you for all of your votes and all of your energy and all of your support of our mission of healing families and saving lives. Thanks.